Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are God. Our families are falling apart. We as a nation have come to say, oh Lord, forgive us, heal our land.
Talk Radio is my people. I am your host, Pastor Leona Ross. Today, we will be talking about the other half of the fruits of the Spirit. It's been an interesting journey in discussing what these characteristics, these godly characteristics are, because our perception of what we think they are sometimes is not really what we think or how we act. But in order to possess these, we're going to try and get a better understanding of exactly what it means to possess the fruits of the Spirit. As Christians, we really should be walking in these daily. So we'll be coming out of Galatians 5, 22-23 today with the other half. We left off with long-suffering at our last broadcast. So if you would like to be a part of the show, you can call in at 516-531-9550 or log in online at blogtalkradio.com/RRL345. All right. We will be listening to Fred Hammond, Call Me Righteous, because God is. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one can call you righteous. You can't call yourself righteous when you know you're not quite living that way. So allow God to call you righteous. Here's Fred Hammond.
Didn't know my
Radio. As I said, today we'll be talking about the rest of the fruits of the Spirit. We already went over the first five a couple of weeks ago, and today we'll be discussing gentleness as well as goodness. There's a difference between the two, believe it or not. And faith, meekness, and last but definitely not least is temperance. Hopefully we'll get through all of them today. I'm going to endeavor to get through them. Remember, you can call in to talk with me here on Blog Talk Radio at 516-531-9550. All right. And if you have any questions or if you would like to comment on anything that is said, remember you can press 1. You can also log into the chat room as well and post your questions or your comments in there. We'd love to have your input. So now that all of the preliminaries are out of the way, let's get started. Now, Galatians 5. And 23, it talks about what we call the fruits of the Spirit. Now, we determined last week that it's a spiritual thing. That's why it's called the fruit of the spirit. And if you look in Galatians, in the 22nd verse, we see that the word fruit is singular. It is not plural. So these are characteristics that you need to possess in your oneness with the Spirit of God. Last week we talked about love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, which we understood that long-suffering is just having patience with people, to change. A lot of times when people come into our ministries or come into our church, we have a specified amount of time that we have predetermined that they should change. But that's not so. Only God determines their path that they will walk. You haven't been in their shoes. You don't know what they've been through. See, so it's by God's grace, see, and by his healing and deliverance power that he walks them through the process once they have confessed Christ. Then become the process of healing. Then comes the process of deliverance. And it's not determined by what you think, but it's determined by what God does. And that person's ability to surrender their will to the will of God. Now, since we're all individuals in the flesh, you know, it's going to take some people longer than others. And that's perfectly okay. Because the end of the journey is more important than how you got there. As long as you arrive there thoroughly rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus and in the will of God. A lot of times we want to push people and tell them, well, you should be further along than you are. Let's no longer do that. Let's no longer do that, okay? Let's allow God time to heal, to deliver, and set free. So that brings us to our first characteristic, our first fruit, which is gentleness. And gentleness is defined as the quality of being kind, tender, or mild-mannered. It is a sensitivity of disposition and kindness of behavior, founded on strength and prompted on love. Remember the last time we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, we talked about the basis of all is love. And without love, you cannot possess any of this. Remember the scripture says, that how can you love God if you don't have love for the brethren, who you see every day, yet you have not seen God? So then again, this gentleness takes us back to our foundation of real love. And we talked about what agape love is. It's not on condition. It's in spite of. It's in spite of how that person acts, in spite how that person treats you. See? And the very essence of love, remember, we stated was forgiveness. Because you can't be walking around with resentment and grudges and bitterness in your heart and say that you love somebody or that you've forgiven somebody with every time their name comes up or every time that situation comes to mind, you're angry. You're upset or you're feeling some kind of way, then check your disposition. Check your forgiveness level, because more than likely you haven't truly forgiven. And you need to pray a little bit more and work on that a little bit more. And some things, yeah, they take time. They take time. And we have to be honest with ourselves. You know, with long suffering, we don't want to rush into something because this is what others expect of us. But we got to learn to be true to ourselves. In order to possess this fruit of the Spirit, number one, we've got to be true to ourselves to be make sure that we walk in oneness with the Father, in the very essence of His Spirit. That we truly are possessing His characteristics and not faking it till we make it. Because that doesn't apply. Because you're not going to be able to help anybody if you're not being true and honest with yourself. Because in order to possess the fruit of the Spirit, you really have to deal with you first. Because then it's only a sham, and you know what? A situation is going to come up, and you're going to lose it. And there's no such thing, I'm sorry, you know, I do apologize for those of you who like to say this, oh, I had to lay my Holy Ghost down for a minute and deal with that issue or deal with that person. No, you, if you truly possess the Holy Ghost, and if the Holy Ghost dwells within you, you don't lay it down. See? Because it will overrule your flesh, see? Because now you and the Father are truly one in the Spirit. And you're going to be convicted before you so-called go there. Something's going to snatch you back and say, "You." It may be on the very tip of your lips, and you're going to be like, that's okay, I'm good. Bless you, sister, bless you, it's all right, see, gentleness, being kind, mild manner, the ability to overlook things that may bother you, see, it says gentle words wield great power, that's in Proverbs 15 and 1, see, they wield power. Well, we said, you know, you get more with sugar than you do with salt, or more with honey than you get with vinegar. See, how are you speaking to somebody? And if somebody is still going on and on with you and they're not getting it and you're just looking at it, and you're just looking at them, begin to pray. Don't lose your demeanor because they have. Psalms 18:35 says, "Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand has holden me up, and thy gentleness has made me great." See, that's that wielding that power in being gentle towards those who may be coming against you or who may ruffle your feathers in the run of a day. See? Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know how they say, you know, you can't argue with yourself. So if you're quiet or you're not saying anything, are you just looking at them or whatever, who are they arguing with? They're arguing with themselves. You're not giving in to their tirade. And your response is gentle. Remember, the Bible says, anger, but sin not. And the lovely thing about the fruits of the Spirit and why they are one, why they are singular, because they all tie in together. They're all intertwined with each other. See? So if you have this gentleness, see, you also already have long suffering. See, because you already have put it into practice and you're enduring, which is what long suffering is. You're enduring and you also have that peace. And you don't allow that person, whatever they're doing or whatever that situation is trying to cause you to react, you still have that joy. And as I said, all of this is based in love. See? We don't have to be brash. We don't have to be overbearing to get our point across. We can still be mild and gentle and still have our power. Nothing is taken from us. Because if you ever take, for example, you ever been in a situation where you're seeing two people arguing and one person is just all irate, just going all off, and the other person is just standing there just self-controlled, you know, not saying anything. You're looking at, who are you looking at? Awkwardly, you're looking at, why is she going off on that person? That person is not, that man or that woman is not saying anything to them. They're just standing there looking at them like, you know, you lost your mind. You know, and they look foolish. They look foolish because their response is irate. See, rather than being gentle and thinking, okay, how can I handle this a better way? See? So gentleness, it's a sensitivity of disposition and kindness and behavior. Remember that. It's founded on strength and prompted by love. See, that's the thing. And sometimes we forget that. We forget that because things come up and we just react. We don't think about, hey, I'm representing my father who was in heaven. But, you know, you done said something that just ain't right. And I'm not finna deal with you today. So I had enough. Rather than taking a moment, remembering who you are, and responding appropriately. See, that's all it takes sometimes. That's all it takes sometimes. We don't have to be consumed by circumstances about what someone else says. We can choose to possess the characteristics of God at all times. See, so remember, gentleness is the sensitivity of disposition. That's your position. That's how you carry yourself. And kindness of behavior. The behavior is your actions. Now remember, you don't lose anything. You don't lose anything. So while people may call you weak, you're actually more, you're stronger and greater than you think. So let's move on to goodness. Now, in goodness, it's not just a mere passive quality. But it's the deliberate preference of right to wrong. That means you on purpose choose right over wrong. It is a firm and persistent resistance of all moral evil, and it's the choosing and following of all moral good. In other words, it's a choice. It is a choice to do what is right. It's a choice to choose good over evil. And it says that you are persistent in it. The Bible says, resist temptation and it will flee from you. So it is a persistent resistance. And persistent means all the time. It means you just don't do it on one occasion when, you know, like if you don't smoke, your temptation to smoke is less than your temptation maybe to overeat, if that's what you like to do. If you have that tendency, you know, like for sugar or for something you know you shouldn't have, right? You said the Bible says all things in moderation. So the enemy is not going to tempt you with smoking if that's not really a vice for you. But whatever your vice is, that's what he's going to come at you with. Those are going to be the things that are constantly around you to move you from off the path of righteousness that God has placed you on. So you have to be persistent in resistance. See, the Bible says you got to be fervent in prayer. See, fervent. That means all the time. See? In 2 Peter, the Bible says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. And it's talking about love. It's talking about love. See, again, I said, when we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit, it is always going to go back to the foundation of what love is. Because remember, God is the very essence of love. God's very essence is love. Remember, so God so loved the world that he gave his only what? His only begotten Son. See? So, when we're talking about resistance, let's look at 1 Peter 1 and 22. He says, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Remember I said you can't fake it till you make it. It has to be true. And this is what unfeigned means. You have gone through the deliverance process. You have gone through the repentance process. God has changed you. Because remember, Romans said that once you confess Christ, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. So you've gone through some things, you know, and you're able to love the brethren, you know, regardless. You know, you're able to love them in spite of. And not only that, you obey the truth, and now you're walking in the Spirit. See, you're walking in the Spirit in love. And it's not a fake love, but you really are concerned about people and their salvation. See, this is what 1 Peter 1 and 22 is talking about. And he says, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Fervently. There goes that word again. Fervently. Well, Pastor Walsh, you keep throwing that word out there. What exactly does it mean? It just simply means that you do it with enthusiasm or you do it with passion. Anything that you do with passion, that means you really care about, that you're really not going to give up on. See, that takes us back, but the deliberate preference of right to wrong. Still talking about goodness now. Let's not get lost. We're still talking about goodness. See, it's a deliberate preference of right to wrong, the firm and persistent resistance. So you resist it persistently or passionately, fervently. See, the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man, what? Availeth much. See, how many of you have ever had a loved one or someone who was sick or something that you just desired from the Lord? How did you pray about that thing? How did you go to God about that thing? Did you just go and say, well, God, you know, maybe you can do this for me and maybe I really... you know, need this. No, you went, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I know you are God. I know you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever think or imagine. You are the God of all creation and nothing is impossible. possible for you. See, you went in fervently, passionately, making your petitions known before the throne of God with all sincerity. You didn't go in there weak water. See, that's that ferventness. See, that's that ferventness. Knowing that what you're asking for, God is going to grant. Not because you've done anything great or good, but just because you have that passionate belief that he is going to do it. And when we're talking about goodness, and we're talking about choosing the right from the wrong, it is the same passion that we need to have. That exact same passion. See? Because this goodness, along with gentleness and the other fruits of the Spirit, is all one. It's all the characteristics of God that we possess when we truly possess the fruits of the Spirit. So we don't get out of line when things come up. We don't get out of line when our friends and family and loved ones don't act the way that we would expect them to act or when we would hope them to act. See, we still have that unconditional love for them. We don't shun them away. We don't treat them differently. We still have that love for them. Even if it has to be a distant love. Because let's be honest, some relationships are toxic. And it doesn't matter how great you are or how hard you try, those people are still going to be abusive to you. And I'm not saying tolerate that. Now, this is not what we're talking about. Well, we're talking about goodness and gentleness and loving in spite of. You can love somebody in spite of and not have any affiliations or any contact with them. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because you're constantly in prayer for them. When they come to mind, you're praying for them. If you really have forgiven them for whatever it may have been that they do or have done, then yeah, God delivered them. You know, God let them see who you are so their hearts can and their minds can be changed. See? And you go on with your life. You don't have to put up with any abusive or toxic relationship. The Bible, it doesn't mention that anywhere in the Bible. It just says love in spite of. It doesn't say tolerate in spite of. I just wanted to clear that up because sometimes people will tell you, like, take the case of an abusive marriage or whatever, whoever the abuser is. Clergy have been known to tell that person, oh, well, you're married, so it's till death do you part. Okay. Let me ask you a question. Put yourself in that man or woman's shoes that's being abused. Would you stay there? Then why would you advise that person to stay there? It's unsafe. That is a toxic relationship. So why would you advise anyone to stay there? No. They need to be safe until God delivers that person or the situation changes. I wouldn't advise anybody to stay in harm's way. Now, you may not agree with me, and that's okay. And that's okay. But as I said, you can still possess the fruits of the Spirit. Still love somebody in spite of, but not tolerate the behavior. Okay? I just wanted to to clear that up, because sometimes people get it twisted and they take things too far. Now let's talk about faith. Well, actually, let's finish goodness. The Greek translation for goodness is toba. And it just means abundant in goodness, plenteous in mercy. So, and abundant in loving kindness. Again, it's just the mercy. In the New Testament, the translation is charotes. I hope I said it right. It's usefulness and benignity. It's the richness of goodness. So one of the scriptures here is Luke 6:35, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. See. It leads, the goodness of God leads to repentance. The thought of God is good, and the prominence given to good and goodness are distinctive features of the Bible. In Galatians 22, goodness is one of the fruits. It is the indwelling spirit of God. And it is described as being along with righteousness and truth. The fruit of life. So looking herein, you know, we are reminded that a Christian life in its truth, as I said earlier, is a likeness or a kindred to the characteristics of God, who is the source and perfection of all good. See? So then, as I said, when we look at the fruits of the Spirit, we have to be mindful that we're not talking about seven or eight different things. We're talking about a oneness with God, having the same characteristics. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 11 and 12. And it says, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Taking on the characteristics of God. This is what Paul is talking about. See, we're constantly praying that whatever you go through during the day, however you act, whatever you encounter, that you take on the personification, the characteristics of God, that you are able to glorify him in yourself, in the way that you carry yourself, in the way that you act, that through you, the grace of God is seen, that the Lord Jesus Christ is exemplified through you, that unconditional love is exemplified through you, and it will be if you truly possess the fruits of the Spirit. Now, I'm not going to say you're going to get it right every single day. We're imperfect beings, but we strive for perfection daily in our prayers, in relationships with Christ. We want to be more like the Father. We want to have a closer relationship to him. And as we build that relationship, the characteristics of Christ manifest in us even the more. We find out that we're not so rattled by the situations and circumstances that come up in the run of the day. See, because as I said, the Holy Spirit prompts us, it moves us, or it keeps us at a peace and a joy. See, that most don't understand. Even we ourselves, we don't know, because we look at it, and sometimes as we grow in Christ, we'll look at things that used to upset us, things that used to overwhelm us, that are now they just, oh, well, it's okay, it's insignificant, doesn't matter, and we move on knowing full well that our Father will provide for us. Will take care of us. So we don't worry about it, as it says in Matthew. Don't worry about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat. See? Because your Father who is in heaven knows that you are what? He knows that you are in need of these things. See? Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let them be made known unto God. And then know with all certainty that He's going to provide. He's going to answer you. So you don't worry about it. You rejoice in knowing and you walk in expectation of the answer. And then that brings us to our next topic, which is faith. And the Greek word for that is fido. It means to trust. The Greek version is to persuade, to draw towards anything, to conciliate, to believe, to obey. Now let's look at belief. Because it says to conciliate, which means just to believe, to agree. Belief is the assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another. In other words, just believe in the word of God as it is written. Resting on his authority and veracity without other evidence. No evidence. Remember Hebrews 11:1? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen, you don't see it, but you hope for it. This is what it means, without evidence. It's the judgment that what another states or testifies is the truth. It's the accent of the mind to the truth of a proposition advanced by another, a belief or probable evidence of any kind. It is the asset of the mind, understanding of the truth of what God has revealed. Just a simple belief of the scriptures, of the being and perfection of God, and of the existence, character, and doctrines of Christ founded on the testimony of the sacred writers. That's what it means. That's faith. In other words, just taking God at his word. If you want to simplify it, just simply taking God at his word. And if you're going to take it, as it says in James, faith without works is what? Is dead. Faith without works is dead. How so? Because if you believe something, you're going to move on it. If you're doubting it, you're apprehensive, and 9 times out of 10, you're not going to do anything. You're going to want more, well, I need more information about that before I make a decision. So you're going to want more information. So you really don't have any faith in it. But if you have true faith, it's not going to be a question. You're just going to get, okay, this is what it said, this is what I believe, this is what I'm going to do. And you're going to get up and move in that direction regardless of whether you see the end results. You're going to know within yourself that, hey, this is what it said, this is what is going to happen, and this is that expected end. So you have in mind a set goal, and you already see that goal as being attained because you believe. You simply believe. You have faith in the word of God. We say, so it is. If God said it, that's what it is, and so it is. But when it comes to our actions, when it comes to moving on the word of God, are we so quick to move as we are to agree? Agreement is one thing. Having faith to get it done is another thing. We can agree with folks all day. But when it's in our hand to do, are we moving forward to get it done in that agreement? Do we have the same vision? Do we have the same vision? And do we expect the same outcome, or are we simply agreeing, expecting somebody else to do all the work? See, that's not faith. That's just agreement on somebody else's faith. As we say, riding off your faith. And that's okay sometimes, because if you don't have enough faith to believe for yourself, sometimes you need somebody who's stronger in faith, who's been through more trials than you have, see? And you have to ride along with them. But as you mature in Christ, you have to get to the point where your faith is one that you no longer doubt. You just simply believe. You just simply expect the word of God to come to pass in your life, that everything that God has said will surely come to pass. See, you have to know that everything, every promise that God has spoke about you, concerning you, will surely come to pass without any doubt. And you walk and you get up every day walking in expectations. I bought a notebook yesterday with the scripture from Jeremiah 29 and 11. That says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. The plans to prosper you and to not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Some versions say, and to bring you to an expected end. Do we agree with what God says? Or do we have the faith that his word is going to manifest in our life? We can agree. Cannot move. And we're agreeing and we're expecting to see the manifestation of God's word in our life, and it never happens. Why? Because we never got off the couch. If God promised me a new vehicle and I never go to the car lot to obtain it, how is that fake? Oh, I have faith that I'm going to get a new car. But I haven't moved to go to the car lot. Is it just going to manifest at my door? I don't think so. So there has to be an action. Even though faith is a spiritual thing, it requires action in the natural to manifest in the earth. You have to do something. Everybody talks about Abraham and how much God favored Abraham and loved Abraham, and we call him the father of faith. But if Abraham had never left his father's house, as God commanded him in Genesis 12, to leave your father's house, and I will bring you into a land. He promised him a land. Milk and honey. He promised him children that would outnumber the sands of the seashore and the stars of the sky. What if he had not left his father's house? He said, leave your father's house and meet all of your kindred. But we know that Abraham had a little bit of doubt because he took Lot with him. Lot wasn't supposed to go because he told him, leave all your kindred. I'm trying to do a new thing in your life. So he took Lot with him, and Lot and his herds, and Lot and his family, and when they got on the outskirts of Sodom and Gomorrah, the herdsmen were fighting over the land for the cattle to feed. And Abraham, in his meekness, he said, listen, we kindred, we family, we shouldn't be fighting like this. If you go to the left, then I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, then I'll go to the left. And Lot, looking up, being selfish, he saw that the land of Sodom and Gomorrah was watered and green. And he said, it looked better than the desert or the hills or wherever Abraham was. He said, I'm going to go up there. And Abraham didn't have a problem. He said, go ahead and be blessed. Because he knew that regardless of wherever Lot went, his source was not in Lot. His source was not in what land or what grass looked greener, but it was in God. And his faith and his trust was totally in God. When God came to Abraham and he told him, he said, I will require of you your son. I want you to sacrifice your son today. Now, Abraham didn't know whether, you know, Isaac could be resurrected, but he trusted God. He had faith in him. He had faith in the unknown, that the promises for his life, that he would have seed. He would have sons. See? That outnumbered the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore, that generations behind him. And he only had this one son, not counting Ishmael. But this son, Isaac, was the promise. See? So he only had this son with him because he had sent Ishmael and Hagar away. So he only had this son, and he was taking him up to sacrifice him. And he didn't know anything about resurrection or, you know, all he knew is, I got to be obedient. I just got to be obedient. So he was taking him up to sacrifice him. And on the way there, his son Isaac said, Father, I see the wood, but where's the sacrifice? I see the wood for the fire. I see everything else, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham, in all his wisdom, he said, the Lord will provide. He didn't tell him, well, son, you're the sacrifice. He said, no, the Lord will provide. And just as he was about to slay his son, God sent an angel to stop him. No, do not harm the lamb. See, and then the angels say, now I know. I know Abraham is going to obey you. Now we know he will obey you. With no thought. That's faith. That's faith. That obedience without a thought that this is what God said. I believe it, so I'm going to do it. Trusting God, see, to make the right outcome for you. That's faith. It's not knowing what the outcome is going to be. It's not seeing the outcome. So you remember, faith is the substance of things not seen. We don't see it. But we have to be in agreement with the word of God that is going to come to pass. And because of that, we are going to move on it. We are going to walk in it, regardless of what our circumstances are, regardless of what anybody else says. We're going to walk in it because I simply believe God. I just simply believe the word of God. I simply believe the words that have been spoken over my life. And this is the direction that each day I'm going to get up and I'm going to move in. I'm going to work towards the promises that God has spoken over my life. That's faith. It's simple as that. Just trusting God to bring about that which has been spoken over you. Amen. Again, this is Pastor Leona Ross with Blog Talk Radio. If my people, we are talking about the fruits of the Spirit today. Truly possessing the fruits of the Spirit. Not talking about it, you know, but being in one, being Spirit-led by the Spirit of the living God in character. At all times. See? Having that fervent love for the brethren. That when they see us, they see the Spirit of Christ. They see the light of Christ. That the life of the Word emanates from us. See? And it not only encourages, but it uplifts our brethren. Truly be led by the Spirit. So now we want to talk about, we've talked about faith today, we've talked about goodness, and we've talked about gentleness today so far. So now let us talk about meekness. And meekness is simply a calm temper of mind. You are not easily provoked. That's what meekness is. You're not easily provoked. Nobody can get under your skin by the words that they say or by the things that you do. Because you have a calm temper. And it doesn't mean, and let me throw this out here right now, because people think that people who are meek and mild are weak. Contrary. No. No, they're not. No, we're not. We choose to be meek because this is who we are in Christ. This is who God has called us to be. See, meekness is therefore an active and deliberate acceptance of undesirable. Understand that. Remember the scripture, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver you out of them, what? Out of them all. So meekness is therefore an active and deliberate acceptance of undesirable circumstances that are wisely seen by individuals as only a part of a larger picture. Lord, I know there's a purpose for me going through this, so I'm going to take it in stride. I'm not going to get my feathers ruffled because the greater is in me. See, this is only temporary. Meekness, again, on the other hand, is not a resignation to faith. It's not a passive and reluctant submission to events. See, because there is little virtue in that. This is just fate. This is just what. No. It's, again, a choice not to act out of character. See? Not to respond as the world responds. Not to just accept things as they are, as they seem to be, but knowing again what the plans is for your life, what the purpose is for your life that God has spoken over you. Knowing that these things, they're just external. Submitting to tricks of the enemy, but there's no need for me to get all upset about it either. See? Because my Father who is in heaven, he said he will fight my battles. He said he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So why should I be all ruffled? Why should I get out of character? With all meekness and mildness, I'm going to go sit at the table and I'm going to sup with my Father while he takes care of the chaos that may be going on around me. Excuse me. It's not a resignation to accept the circumstances as they are. It's not an idle acceptance like, woe is me. No, never woe is me. I still reign in victory. I reign in victory because I know what God has spoken over my life. I know the path of righteousness that he has set me on. And this bump in the road is not going to deter me or get me off track or get me out of character. I'm still going to let the light of God shine through me with the patience and hopeful endurance of undesirable circumstances. Identify the person as externally vulnerable and weak, but inwardly resilient and strong. People may see you as weak because you have a meek attitude. But on the inside of you, remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Meekness does not identify the weak, but more precisely, the strong who have been placed in a position of weakness where they persevere without giving up. That regardless of the circumstance, you know God has spoken, you know your purpose, and it doesn't matter what's going on, you still moving. You still moving forth by faith. See? You don't give up because things get hard. No. No. You keep going. Because you know, already know, already what your outcome is going to be. See, as Paul said in Philippians 13, you know, he said, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended in Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the higher calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. That means I know what God has planned for me. I know what he has planned for me. So, I'm not going to be perturbed when things come up. I don't have to be forceful. All I got to do is keep moving in the direction that God has called me to and not allow the things of this world to ruffle me or get off focus. See? I don't have to. Because I have this assurity that as I keep moving in the things that God has called me to, eventually I'm going to get to where I need to be. See? Just moving on. Being meek. Being mild. Not getting upset over the small things that really don't matter. Truly possessing the fruits of the Spirit and moving in that. Lastly, we're going to talk about temperance, which is simply restraint or self-control. Now, this one, sometimes it's the hardest thing to do. It's the hardest thing to accomplish above loving people and in spite of, which is that love, remember, is the very foundation of Christ and having the fruits of the Spirit. But having restraint and self-control, sometimes situations, people, circumstances, push you to the edge. They push you to the edge. So self-control is a learned. You have to learn. You have to go through trials. You have to go through temptations, you know, and you're going to mess up. Because our first thing to do is what? Fight back. People do you wrong? Hey, no. No. You messing with the wrong person now. You messing with the wrong person now. No, you don't do that. It's very hard to remain, you know, to have self-control sometimes when people are doing you wrong. Because you want to fly off the handle. You want to get revenge. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And if you don't have self-control, guess what? You can easily fall prey. You can easily fall prey to the tactics and schemes of the enemy. Without even knowing it. Because you forgot to be meek, you forgot to be gentle, you forgot to be kind, to be self-controlled. And sometimes you have to just take a breath and woosah for a minute. Because people can be cruel. People can be unkind. And sometimes it's intentional. Sometimes it's very intentional. But you don't let them get you off your square. You got to remember who you are in Christ. Take, for example, when Judas betrayed Jesus. Jesus knew he was being betrayed. Now, the Roman soldiers didn't specifically know who Jesus was, but Jesus told him, he said, the one whom I kiss, it is he. It's he. So he walks up to Jesus and he kisses him on the cheek. And Jesus asks him, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? He asks him, he let him know, I know what you're doing. You're selling me out. Most of us, we know somebody betraying us, lying to us, you know, it makes us angry. We want to fight. But Jesus said, okay, that's fine, because I know my purpose. I know my destiny. I'm not saying that we readily take things that easy, because our natural response is, oh, I got to do something to you. But when we in Christ, and as we go in Christ, we learn self-control. We truly learn to love in spite of. We don't react to every situation. We don't react, to every betrayal, to every situation and circumstance that we don't like or may not be favorable to us. But we remain at peace. We learn to remain at peace because the Spirit of the living God that is in us begins to rise up rather than our flesh rise up. We, you know, our flesh is always going to fight spirit. And in our flesh, we're going to want to do something to somebody. Let's just be honest. We're human. And we have to deal with our emotions. We have to deal with what our first reaction is. But when we allow ourselves to be spirit-led, there's room for a decision for us to decide on how we want to react. We're going to react, let the love of God be seen, or we're going to react and let our flesh rise up. See? So in weighing the two, we learn self-control. Now, I'm not going to say we get it right all the time, even as Christians. But if we truly are walking by the Spirit of God, more often than not, we ought to have self-control. We ought to display self-control more often than not. See, we are as parents, we always want our teachers, our children, we'll tell our children now, little Johnny, you know, you shouldn't act like that. Count to 10. We always tell them, when you get angry, count to 10. And we expect that of our children, but what do we expect of ourselves? Are we displaying that same behavior? Or do when things come up that make us angry, we just fly off the handle? And then if little Johnny told us, now, Mommy, you need to count to 10, then we want to be upset because that child is just telling you what you taught him. But are you just saying it, or are you actually living it? So as we go about our day daily, and as we teach and preach this gospel of Jesus Christ, are we truly possessing the characteristics, or are they just good? Is there something to say, but to live in and out of each day? Is it just a confession without possession? Or do we daily strive to be perfected in the characteristics of Christ? Do we want to be better today than we were yesterday? Are we just okay with who we are because this is who we are and this is all we're ever going to be, or are we striving for greater? Let's face it. The way this world is today, it's easy with the things that we see on the news and in social media, the divisiveness, the racism, the just uncaring for people with less than. There's no compassion whatsoever. It's easy to be angry. It's easy to be upset. It's easy to want to, you know, take up arms and fight back or tweet an inappropriate tweet, you know, out of your emotions rather than out of unconditional love. Sometimes silence is your best peace because you don't have to, you have to realize that you don't have to jump into every fight. Every battle is not yours. See? Psalms 91 says that you will see these things around you, but it shall what? Not come nigh thy dwelling. Sometimes we make a fight that is not ours. We make it ours. We make it ours because of emotions. But if we truly are led by the Spirit of God, we allow the Father, we allow His characteristics, we truly allow the fruits of the Spirit to manifest in us and allow our Father to deal with every situation. Psalms 91, verse 8 says, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. He shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. See, you're covered, you're sealed, you're protected when you truly possess the fruits of the Spirit. Because the characteristics of God is going to manifest in you. And because you and the Father are one, what harm can possibly come to you? What harm can possibly come to you? None whatsoever. The Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? No one. No one can be against you. So you have victory in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every lying tongue the Lord God shall condemn. So, therefore, if you possess the fruits of the Spirit, and you and the Father are one, already walk in victory. So you're never slighted, you're never alone, and you're never out of place. So, as we look and as we understand the characteristics of what the fruit of the Spirit is, let us be mindful for those of us who call ourselves Christians, because that word has a bad connotation now. It has a bad connotation now because people think that they're so right on their opinions in judging others. We don't love in spite of. If somebody doesn't agree with our position, we feel, some of us feel, we have a right to degrade them. But the Bible says there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And if we are in Christ Jesus, then why are we condemning others? It says if you see your brother in a fault, you ought to what? You ought to pray for them and pray for their deliverance. Didn't say condemn them. It didn't say call them all manner of evil because they're caught up in sin. And we spoke last week, we said there is no greater degree of sin in God. Sin is sin to God. We're the one that have a degree. We're the one that want to make one sin greater than another. How then do we truly possess love in that? How then do we truly possess the fruits of the Spirit? We have to be careful, again, who we put our mouth on. Because we don't know who God's anointed is, for number one. He said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And because people are coming to Christ as they are, and not knowing who they are, not knowing who their identity in Christ is, we have no way of knowing who his anointed is. So it's better that we truly possess the fruit of the Spirit and truly love in spite of and truly possess self-control and temperance and meekness and mildness and gentleness, so that rather than condemning somebody, we're praying for them. We're putting them before the Father because he sees and he knows. And he knows the very intent of a person's heart. Because it very well may be that you may be the person that is called so that person can be brought to deliverance. But how can you do that if you're standing in judgment of them? The Bible says, through love and kindness have I drawn thee. How are you drawing somebody by love and kindness if you're steadily condemning them because of the sin caught up in? What makes you so much greater than them? If anything, you should have more compassion, because you should look at your own trials and your own victories and where God has brought you from and understand the true relevance of grace and mercy. So let us truly begin to walk and possess in the characteristics of Christ and possess the true fruit of the Spirit, and no longer look at others as if we're so righteous, we're so great, we're the only ones got it together, because you very well may be fooling your own self. So this has been Blog Talk Radio, If My People. We talked about the fruits of the Spirit. We'll be back next week with another topic, talking about righteousness and holiness. We're going to take you. Thank you for those of you who tuned in with us today. I really appreciate you listening with us. And we're going to go out of here this afternoon with Byron Cage, "Thou Art a Shield for Me." And remember, show kindness to one another, because through love and kindness have I drawn thee. That is what the Lord says. That is what the word says. Let us not more think more highly of ourselves than we truly ought to, but learn to love each other in spite of. This is Pastor Leona Ross with If My People. It is the vision of True Wisdom New Hope Ministries International Development Churches out of Tallahassee, Florida. Our apostle is Dr. James Lorenzo Rutledge, with our chief apostle, Dr. S.D. James, out of Brundage, Alabama. You guys have a great weekend. Until next week.
Comes the time in every believer's life. Trials are going to come, but God said, I will not leave you comfortless. So be encouraged.
Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, but that
Uh-huh.